Alright. So today I'm talking a little bit about some research I did on a California dairy, looking at the transport of menicin. So menicin is a veterinary antibiotic that's used in preventing coccidiosis in cattle. It's a preferred antibiotic for this because it also increases feed efficiency, which in turn increases animal growth. However, not all of the administered dose needs to be metabolized in order for menicin to be effective. So about 50% of the parent compound is excreted with the waste, which is usually stored on site in a waste lagoon and later used to irrigate forage crop fields. And so while it's beneficial to have these nutrients for the crops, this practice also introduces contaminants in the waste to the environment. And so the concern with introducing menicin into the environment is with the possibility of toxicity to non-target organisms and also the potential for decreased effectiveness of it as an antibiotic. Okay, so the dairy that I'm talking about today is in the Central Valley of California, just shown in the red dot there. And so previous research on this dairy has shown that menicin is detectable in the groundwater below the waste lagoon, and that transport of other wastewater constituents to shallow groundwater is possible after field irrigation. And so it's common practice on this dairy for them to flood irrigate bare soil with no crops on it, and so this represents a worst case scenario for contaminant transport. And so the question that we were looking to answer is if menicin would rapidly transport to groundwater during a single isolated irrigation event. So again, the field site is this dairy in Modesto, California. It has 1,500 cattle on site. The groundwater is about 3 meters below the surface, so it's about 10 feet. And the soils on the irrigated field are characterized as well-drained sandy loam. A number of monitoring wells are installed around the dairy, and I've shown some of them here in blue. These are the wells that I was looking at for this study. They're about, or between 10 and, or 7 and 10 meters deep, and have screens that start about 2 meters below the surface. And the four that I'm talking about today are marked with a star. And so these include the well that's downgraded of the irrigated field. So that's this guy. And so this is the well that we're monitoring to see if we can, but this is the well that will show menicin if it's being transported through irrigation. And we also have this well that's upgrading of the field, which serves as our control for other inputs that aren't related to irrigation. And there's two of the wells by the lagoon that I'll also be talking about. So we sampled water from six of the wells over a six-week period surrounding a single irrigation event. The wells were sampled with an inertial pumping system, which is permanently installed in each well to prevent cross-contamination between the wells. And so I have a photograph here of the well casing with the dedicated tubing sticking out here, and a little schematic to show you how the system works. So you have a foot valve that's at the bottom of the well, at the bottom of this HDPE tubing, and as you pump the tubing up and down, it forces the water out of the well, and so we get a flow rate of about 2 to 3 liters per minute. We also installed six pressure transducers to monitor water elevation and temperature changes over the sampling period. And so this is showing a pressure transducer installed in a well. We analyzed our water samples for menicin, dissolved organic carbon, pH, electrical conductivity, and various ions that were found in the irrigation water. Menicin was isolated by solid phase extraction with a hydrophilic lipophilic balance cartridge, and this process resulted in extracts that were 100 times more concentrated than the water samples. And so then these extracts were analyzed with an LCMS ion trap against an internal standard. We used nigericin as our internal standard because it's structurally similar, and it's another ionophore that's not used in animal agriculture. Our limit of quantitation for menicin was determined to be about 0.08 picograms per liter on the instrument, which means that menicin should be detectable in the groundwater at concentrations less than 10 picograms per liter. So during irrigation, the lagoon water is diluted with fresh water on the field, and so the system that's in place results in one outlet having a much more dilute water sample coming onto the field, and the other that's mostly lagoon water. And so it sort of mixes on the field. But because of this, we grab sampled irrigation water from both outlets throughout irrigation to try to approximate the inputs into the field. And so this chart is showing the relative concentrations of different ions in the irrigation water, and also it shows the differences in concentration between the outlet samples throughout irrigation. And so because of this, our menicin concentration ranged from 0.09 to 1.6 micrograms per liter, with an average of about 1 microgram per liter. So our pressure transducer data showed that water elevation increased in all wells following irrigation, but we did see a delay in the increase in the well that's upgradient of the field, and so that's shown here in orange. So this is looking at a change in water elevation over the 6-week sampling period. And so because of this 2-day delay in the increase upgradient of the field, we suspect that's not a result of irrigation, but some irrigation upgradient. So not irrigation on the dairy, but on another field nearby. But we did not see that a change in ion concentrations for that well. Our control still holds, and we can say that any changes we're seeing in the well downgrading of the field is a result of irrigation. And so here I'm just showing the EC change over time, but these trends were shown in all the other water marker data that we looked at. This is just representative. And so looking at the well that's downgradient of the field, which is the red here, we saw that the concentrations of ions decreased in that well following irrigation, which we believe is due to both the dilution in the irrigation water and the fact that the field had been previously irrigated with fresh water. And as for menicin, we did not detect menicin in the well downgradient of the field, but we did consistently detect it in two of the wells near the lagoons, and so that's the well that's downgradient of the lagoon is, I keep losing this, in this well upgrading the lagoon. And I should note that we did not detect it in the other upgradient well throughout the sampling period. But the well that's downgradient of the lagoon is subject to typical lagoon leakage rates. It's well known that it's been consistently found to have menicin in it for years prior to this, and we found it at rates of 1 nanograms per liter. But the well that's upgradient here and outlined in red has not previously been shown to have menicin in it, and it's on the north side of the dairy and should not really be affected by activity on the dairy, but we found menicin at concentrations from 20 to 40 nanograms per liter over the sampling period. And we found that the menicin concentrations corresponded with other markers for lagoon leakage. And so I've shown these here. This is just a few dissolved organic carbon, some ammonium, menicin, and high levels of potassium over the sampling period. And so it's not yet confirmed, but we suspect that the source of this is a leaking waistline that's running from the lagoon to the irrigated field. And so as the lagoon water switch is turned on to irrigate the field, you see kind of a little spike in the different constituents. Okay, so based on the chloride concentrations in the irrigation water and the change in chloride that we saw in the well downgradient of the field, we estimate that at least 3% of the sampled groundwater in the column is coming directly from the irrigation water that's being rapidly transported. And so, given our Minnesin concentrations in the irrigation water, we can calculate that if Minnesin was being transported conservatively, that we would have between 3 and 15 nanograms per liter in the well water. But since we're not detecting it, we know that it's actually less than 10 picograms per liter, which leads us to conclude that Minnesin is not being rapidly transported during irrigation and that sorption to soil is a more important fate. And so even though field irrigation comprises a much larger surface area of the farm, we're concluding that leakage from the lagoons and other faulty waste systems are of more concern with respect to Minnesin contamination in groundwater. And so with that, I'd like to thank the dairy owners for letting me run around their farm for 6 weeks, and everyone who has given me advice and support and funding. So thank you.
Very nice talk. So we have time for a question. Does anyone have a question for Sarah?
So when you look at the ratio of the different ions in the wells, and you sort of mentioned the chloride, do you see much of a change? In other words,
it's not as dramatic as with the other ions. So chloride does decrease a little bit, but a lot of the others, like especially nitrates, had a much larger decrease.
But I mean, in order to like source
right.
In the well that has the high Minnesin,
right.
similar ratios as
It has. Right, it definitely, with potassium, that's a big one that you see in lagoon leakage, and the fact that it has ammonium in it, and none of the other wells besides the down gradient of the lagoon have ammonium in it. So it kind of indicates to us that it's coming from the lagoon and not from something else.
Thank you.